2 weeks ago when we kicked off. There we go. And we're rolling
Yeah.
live. Okay.
You want to back up to the beginning of Seif Bey's?
Yes, exactly what I'm going to do. The parts of the Shulchan Aruch, I'll just remind us that we're going to read the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah really read. I'll just remind us outside. But let's reread the Shulchan Aruch, because then there were some pieces starting with Sif Katan Dal that we didn't get to last time, which really, I don't know if they were surprising to everybody last time, but we mentioned the Shulchan Aruch. Take a. You might have to turn a couple of pages back from where we were, but Sif Beis had read Noshim Chayavos Bekiddush Af Al Pi Shu Mitzvas Aseh Shehazman Grama. Women are obligated in Kiddush on Friday night, even though it is a mitzvah. Aseh is a positive mitzvah that is bound by time. By the mitzvah of Kiddush on Friday night can only be done on Friday night. And so, therefore, it is bound by time, and it is a positive mitzvah because it's learned from the pasuk Zachor es Yom HaShabbat LeKodesho. You shall recall the day of Shabbat to sanctify it. And Mishum, how come they are obligated? Usually, women are off the hook on a mitzvah Aseh Shazman Grama. And the answer is here: Mishum de Itkash, the Itkash Zachor LeShamor, because there is a hekesh, there is a textual connection between Zohar and Shomor. First time it appears in the Ten Commandments appear in the Torah. They are it says Zohar es Yom HaShabbos, and then in Va'eschanan it says Shomor es Yom HaShabbos. And we mentioned last time in the Mishnah Berurah that there's the idea of that Zohar and Shomor they were echadem, or they were said at the same. These were really occurred at the, they were said at the same time. Only a Kodesh Baruch Hu can say two things at the same time. And since the women are relevant to the Shmira, to the negative commandments, the don't do's of Shabbos, they are also, because of this hekesh, because of this textual connection, also they're also relevant now in the category of the Zechira, of the positive mitzvos of Shabbos. So, and there are sheets over here. That's what we read last time, and then we concluded with the really straightforward connection for between that point and this point, which is Umotzios es anoshim, women can be motzi men, motzia men. They can discharge the obligation of men by their own kiddush if the men are listening to their kiddush. Hoil v'chayavos min haTorah, k'mosam, since they are obligated on a Torah level like them. Now, let's take a look at Sif Katan Dalad. This gets to the core of the issue, or this is the most surprising thing, perhaps, of this whole piece, is the women can motzi, can help discharge the obligation of men. It's rarely the case that such a thing occurs in halacha, that the men that women can discharge the obligation of a man. But the truth is that it's not quite as infrequent as we might think. So let's take a look here at Sif Katan Dalad. The Mishnah Berurah writes, "V'cheni skimu hataz u'magen Avram v'hagra u'she'arei achronim." And this is it's Memvav. No, actually, yeah, Memvav. Yes, correct, exactly. Turn right there. It's Sif Katan Dalad in the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah cites the Taz, the Magen Avram, who are the two commentators you'll find on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim, and the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. And others, he says, Aushari Achron and other Achronim too, other later authorities too, who all agree with this Psak Halacha that women can be, are able to discharge the obligation of men by their own making of Kiddush. Now, not surprisingly here, we're going to find a mentioning of a Chumrah. Umikol Makom, Yesh Bahachme Lechatchila, I always find that phrase fascinating. Okay. Nevertheless, usually machmer lechatchila, there is to be, or there are those that are yesh lahachmer. There are those that are machmer Ideally, meaning everybody agrees that by letter of the law, there's no question women can remote can discharge the obligation of men. That is not even the argument of this. Lechatchila, lechatchila means that if I'm, if I'm, machmir b'di'eved, then it's good, right? So, shelo totsi isha anashim she'ena mibnei beitha. Dezila milsa, that a woman should not discharge the obligation of men who are not in her household. Why? Because dezila milsa, the lowly matter, she should do that. But what I find fascinating is here, no one less mandapali that if it's just husband and wife and kids around the table, wife can make kiddush lechatchila according to everybody. Okay, and according to some. Namely, the Eliyahu Rabbah and the, I think that's the Divrei Chaim, sure. She make the Kiddush when there are guests over, because it's not nice. It's not becoming. Simeon, I see. Cool. She's just saying the Kiddush. Shirei Kodesh is the whole kula about Shirei Kodesh, that if she sings, that if a woman is singing songs that relate to. That there's mirrors and things like that. It's not that it's not an issue. Some people disagree with that, but let's assume she just has the kiddush. There's no obligation that you have to. And if you even if you just do it in a chanty tune, if you sort of do it with a nusach, I don't know if that's singing. You're doing it with nusach, okay. I would say it's more like chanting. Yeah. So, let's say she even just said it. She wants to be. You go to the choladeos. She says the kiddush. Yes. Go ahead, Simeon.
Yes, Rav, I personally have difficulty with certain segments of our Jewish society that invent interpretations, and whether it's the wearing of a black hat or something else, and then that suddenly becomes a Jewish thing. You have here the Mishnah Brura is going against a lo sa'aseh midoraisa. How could he do such a thing?
Where do you, where which lo sa'aseh is he going against?
The shamar of Zohar, she has the same obligation. The obligation is such that she can be motzi men. Why limit it that? Where does that limitation? What is it based on? What reality does it fulfill?
Meaning you're asking where is the Yesh Lechatchila Lahachmir coming from? Is that what you're asking? Like, what's the halachic basis for the chumrah here? Meaning that on a very legal level, it makes sense. There is this cause for her mitzvah to here to not be a ptur, right? Because of the connection between Zachor and Shamor. So once we say that women are equally obligated, so then it should be an opportunity here for women to not because it goes it flows in all directions. Men can be motzi women, women can be motzi a men. It shouldn't matter. You're asking. Let me just make sure I understand. You're asking in this fifth katan that we just read, where did the Mishnah Berurah, citing the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Divrei Chaim, come from with this Qumrah? Oh, he just dropped. I feel bad. Okay, but I was going to actually answer the question without him even asking it. So hopefully I'll come back on. We'll catch him. We'll catch him up. So I want to read the Aruch HaShulchan on this matter. Okay, you don't have that in front of you, so just listen. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, he quotes the first. He quotes the Shulchan and he says the following: "Afilu ha'sovrim dekiddush al kos min derabanan, demina Torah yotzim betefila, mikomokom shavim ha'anashim." Called the tikkun rabbanon ke'en d'oraisa tikkun. So first, first things first. He says even according to those who say that the kiddush on wine, the wine part of it is only made rabbanon, right? When you hold the wine, and because in a Torah you can be yotzei with the tefillah, right? You say vayachulu in the tefillah, you're good to go. We're in Sif Beis. We just did Sif Katan Dal, Reish Ayin Aleph. And nevertheless, though, Aruch HaShulchan says here. That it, women, men and women are equal here on this one because of the Zachor Shamor connection. The whole the tikkun rabbanon ke'en d'oraisa tikkun, and the mitzvah of the say, well, but the on the The wine part is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Zachar shomer I get min haTorah she has the mitzvah of kiddush, but I can fulfill that with my words, not with wine. But he says that would not work. That's a very flawed argument. Say that the rabbis would split hairs here and say, well, on the wine, you're potter, but the kiddush, you're chayiv. And he says,
you mean the bread? Talk about the bread.
No, when they make kiddush on the wine, right. The wine is the rabbanon. Having wine at kiddush is the rabbanon. I mean, the right stuff, I just using my words, I can fulfill my mitzvah biblically of zachor es yom haShabbos haKadosh. But so maybe you'll say the reason that the men should make kiddush and not women should make kiddush is because on the wine bracha, on the borei pri hagafen, and they can't help. Because that's only midrabanan, and it's a mitzvah, and that's the positive time bound mitzvah to make to do it over wine. He says that doesn't make sense because anytime the rabbis make a takana, they make it like a deoraisa. Call the rabbanon tikkun ke'en deoraisa tikkun, right? Therefore, they parallel after the deoraisa here. The deoraisa is that men and women are equal. When they create the rabbinic part of the wine, it only makes sense that they made that part as well equal in terms of the level of obligation. And he says here, v'gam nashim kein, that women, just fixing this one second. That women, he says, the gam noshim kein hu diminator yotas betfila ba'al kosa chayavos midrabanan, they are obligated in a Torah in the tefila part, and on a cup of wine, also they're obligated midrabanan, there's no ptur. Im kein omdim b'chara darga, they're all standing on one step, on one level, u'v'yachol asam hotziyam, and therefore they can be motzi men. There's no reason that they can't discharge the obligation of a man. The yesh rotzim lomar, and there are those that want to say she'enan motzios anoshim, that they don't successfully discharge the obligation of men. Kemo b'megillah, just like by kriyas hamegillah, which is in Simon Taf Reish Pei Tes Sif Aleph over there. Let's take a look. I'm going to read Megillah. Nashim are obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah. Does anybody know why? Isn't it a positive time-bound mitzvah? Why? Good. They were also part of the miracle, right? The Jewish women were also as much threatened as Jewish men. Correct. Yeah. Correct. According to Tosfos, that's where Tosfos discusses how women were very much an integral part of the miracle by Yetzias Mitzrayim. By Hanukkah, Yehudis is mentioned there.
The Zachor Shamo comes from the actual saying the Kiddush.
Zachor Veshomor comes from the Torah. That the two times it appears in the Dibros appear. The first time it says Zachor. Look at the Torah, right? And then Yisro it says Zachor. Eskanan it says Shamor.
Okay, how is that connected to the Kiddush?
Because the teaching is. We have to just figure out, well, why does the Torah has one version of the story and another version of the story? No, the answer is that actually the Chazal say that both of these words were said at the same time. But the problem is Moshe Rabbeinu can't put a Zohar / Shamor in the Torah. He can't do it. That's not how it works. So the first time he writes it with Zohar, and the second time HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to write it with Shamor. That way the Jewish people forever will know that I said both at the same time, in a miracle. Only God's voice could emanate with two things coming out of it. And what we learn from this is that they are intertwined. Zachor and Shamor are intertwined, and what this teaches us is that women who are obligated in time-bound negative mitzvot, like don't violate Shabbos, don't cook on Shabbos, don't tie a kesher not on Shabbos, don't be 39 malachos, that is something that they have to do. In addition to also the Zohar, which is connected, which is Kiddush.
So Kiddush, the actual Kiddush prayer is the Zohar Shamom.
Yes. The Kiddush is the bracha. Asher Kiddush Adam Mitzvah Ratz Tavanah Shabbat Kachov Yavavah Tzvani Chilanu Zikaron LaMaaseh Bereshit Ki Yom Tachil LeMikra Kodesh Zechel Tzevisam. That's the bracha of Kiddush. There's a preamble of Vayachulu. We'll talk about more in the coming Simanim. There's a preamble.
So the issue we had before with Simeon saying that how can a woman, because it's not obligated to hold Shamor.
She has an equal.
Who has obligation? Both of them has.
Both of them do, but we needed a special limud to tell me that women are obligated on a biblical level, because otherwise we would just apply the rule that women are always exempt from positive time by mitzvot. Kiddush on Friday night is a positive mitzvah and is bound by time. In order for me to say that women, or for Chazal to say that women are obligated, there needs to be a limud, some way from the Torah, a textual way from the Torah, to bring it out that indeed they are. So how do we learn here that they are? Because of the connection of Zachor and Shamor. That teaches me that women are indeed obligated and they're not exempt in the midst of Kiddush. That makes sense? That textual connection is necessary. This is where, Richie was referencing, and Jeffrey as well, that by Megillah also should, that women should be a potter from going to Kriyas HaMegillah, because it's a positive time-bound mitzvah. But the rabbi said, no, we obligate them as well, because it's a mitzvah. The afhein hayu also is, there's a qualifier. They were an essential part of the miracle. They not just benefited from the fact that the Jewish people were saved, but as Richie pointed out, Esther was a very central character in the saving of the Jewish people. So therefore, women are also obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah, where other times they might have been off the hook.
But also, they're obligated, but they're not obligated.
Meaning they could simply just say the Vayechulu. Correct. You're saying that if women read the Megillah, halacha lamaisa, I mean, if there was like a women's Megillah reading, by the way, which is not such a controversial, that would be very controversial, and I halachically incorrect if women read for men. For Megillah.
Even
but
if there's no man to read, the only person that can read the Megillah is a woman.
It's a really, it seems like there's one.
The same thing
a Kiddush, lechatchila, a woman could make a Kiddush, certainly according to the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, within the household, certainly nobody has an argument that the wife can make for the husband. Yeah.
The woman could choose, like, oh, let's do it, let's you do it.
Yeah, you could do rock, paper, scissors every Friday night. It's not a problem.
What if it's in public?
So that's why the chumrah that's quoted here by the Mishnah Berurah, it says zila milta. It's not becoming. It's not the thing to do. Now,
another point of
information. Yeah.
The Kiddush is made up of first the Eidus, which is by Hulu, and then the Brachos, right?
Yeah.
Which is the essential. Couture of the obligation of Zohar, which paragraph?
I would say that if you ask a stam person, right, this goes to the question of kavana or not. If a person didn't have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, and we say mitzvah strichos kavana, the people didn't have a kavana when they said vayechulu, as that's my obligation being fulfilled there, then mistama, it's always the bracha. Because the bracha, I understand, the bracha is a bracha, a mitzvah. The bracha, a mitzvah, make a bracha. If they had kavana, or you say that, well, even without kavana, you can fulfill the mitzvah, then it becomes a different situation. But even then, we're going to talk about this very shortly, if they have a different level of obligation, let's say, by the way, this is actually worse in some ways. Husband comes home, he daven in shul, he said, fire. Who and every
twice
he said it twice in the short answer, and she didn't daven, and that's right, and
three times.
So she didn't daven for whatever reason. She's not obligated. She comes, he comes home. He be the oraisa has a check mark by his name. She did not. He now comes along, and his motzi be her. Now the answer is that's fine actually, but you would have thought. The woman has the biblical chiyuv still, and he's coming along, having done kiddush like three times over already, and he's coming in here. That's not a halacha problem actually. We're going to spend a lot of time about in a couple of simanim why that's okay.
I thought it
was fun. Yeah. Now, so he says zila milsa. I wanted to just show you here the Mishnah over in that siman in Hilchos. Purim, first of all, the Shulchan Aruch says men and women are both obligated in Hakol Chayv Mikriyasa, Anashim Venashim, the Gerim, Avadim, Mishucharim, everybody. And then the Mishnah Berurah over there says, V'afta HaKriya Hi Devar Shazman Grama Mikol Makom Chayavos Sha'af Hein Hayu Ba'osto Hanes. Dimitchila Haisla Gzera Gam Aleihem. Haman didn't differentiate between men and women. All Jews, right? V'alchein Tzarech Ha'ish Likrosa Be'beso V'lifnei Abzulos V'ham Mishar Sos V'ktas V'kos Nogim Hem Holchos L'Beis HaKnesis L'Ezra Sanashim L'Shmo HaKriya Achein Tzarech Ha'in Eich Yotzim Sham Nashim. All right. By the way, he says here there are some places where women go to the Ezra's Nashim to go hear a Kriyas HaMegillah, and obviously in those shuls, the ability to hear from the Ezra's Nashim wasn't so good. And so the Mishnah Berurah says, I don't exactly know how they're sitting in the Ezra's Nashim. You can't really hear it the right way because it's, you know, behind like a, you know, a Mechitza Shel Barzel, you know, on the third floor, you know, whatever, you know. So, but the point is that women need to hear it, but they are not able to be motzi men. It's not actually a matter of discussion, really. There is one source that seems to indicate that it would be okay, but it's really not at all acceptable halachic practice. But so, what's the difference here? Why there is it no, but here yes? So the Aruch HaShulchan says ve'eino ikar the visham kevin de verabim hu. Since the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, you want to talk about Zila Milsa? It's like not appropriate. So he says, Zila Milsa is only about, it's not what a woman's going to stand up in front of the Kehillah, you know, or stand up. It's not what we do. Kevin Shekostus, Atostus, Sukkah, Masha, and came by Kiddush, you know, particularly, that's where it's particularly when it's talking about just the household. Husband and wife and kids around the table, there's no chumrah even. There's no chumrah because, you know, the whole zila milsa thing is right that a woman should do in front of it. Now, there are other issues with the woman getting up in front of the kehillah for kriyas HaMegillah, but that is undoubtedly not a problem when it comes to kiddush, particularly only in the household. And on this one, yeah.
We're talking about obligation. If you go back to the old shuls in Eastern Europe, the Ezra's Nashim was an afterthought which was added later.
Right.
You know, they didn't have it.
Right.
So, what do you do with a woman for reading all this? They probably wouldn't never participate.
For reading a Megillah.
Yes.
So that's why the mission. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah right before he says that some people have a minute to go to the shul, but to the Ezra's Nashim. He says that's what before that he says he says that really a man who knows how to read Megillah, because the presumption was women didn't know, a man should read in his household for the besulos. That means that the young women, the single women, you know, is a daughter, is a 16-year-old daughter, he should read for his 16-year-old daughter. She has an equal chiyuv, and the misharsos, the women who are helping around the house, they're hired help. Presumably they're Jewish, right? Or they're avadim, by the way. If they're avadim, mishucharim, but whatever. So the shul part was like, there are some people who go to shul. Like it's not the
Women are obligated to hear it, but not to read it.
For Megillah,
right.
Correct. That's the biggest thing here. The mitzvah. Well, even think, right, correct, that women have an obligation to hear, men have an obligation to read. And therefore, women cannot be motzi men because their obligation is not non-existent, and it's different. And that's why, by the way, they can make the brachos at the beginning of Kriyas HaMegillah. That's only Paskin. I'm almost 100% sure. But they cannot make, they don't make the bracha at the end, if it's just a women's reading. They don't make the bracha at the end of the Kriyas HaMegillah. And I think that they do change the bracha, because usually our bracha for Kriyas HaMegillah is Al Mikra Megillah, and I believe that if it's just a woman reading for herself or a few other women, that it's lishmoa. It's a change of a bracha. Therefore, men cannot. That's the problem. Here, though, everything is equal by Kiddush. There is no differentiation of text or what the obligation is. Exactly. That's the problem with Megill, where it's a little bit different. Okay. And again, the problem here that's cited by the Chumrah relates to she's reading in public, and it's not what we do. Zila Milsa is not what we do. So it's pasnished. Thank you. That's what we'll say. It's pasnished. You know. But certainly within a household, it's not proper. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, Jeffrey.
There are a lot of households where a woman will say hamotzi.
Right.
And surprisingly, after reading this, they don't mean I've never seen a woman say kiddush,
The Vilna Gaon never mentioned the Chumrah here, by the way. Correct. This is like there were a few achronim who. Yeah. I mean, there's that wasn't a switcheroo. The same calculation exists by Hamotzi, which is men and women have an equal chiyuv. When it comes to bracha on a typical Tuesday, right? If I'm sitting next to my wife and she's about to have a sandwich, and I'm about to have a sandwich, and we both wash at the same time, and we're sitting down together. There's really no reason she can't make. I could make hamotzi, and she could say amen to the bracha, and we both eat our sandwiches. And the reverse really is true. We both have an equal obligation to make the.
No.
We do it on Shabbos because everyone wants to partake of one of the two challahs, right? But if I'm having a sandwich and she's having a sandwich, I'm allowed to make a bracha rishona, and as long as I have in mind and she has in mind, and it's really the same calculation. Okay. Simeon, go ahead.
There's a major difference between the Megillah and between Kiddush. Kiddush is midaraisa. The Megillah, the whole Megillah business is midarabanan.
No, 100%. And here it doesn't come down to the Doresa Darabanan. It's about if I can line it up that men and women have the exact same obligation, then, which is not always the case, right? Because of Mitzvah Hazman Grama, you can't always say that. But here you can. And so therefore, without qualification, the Shulchan Aruch says, Motziyos Tehespaha Nashim Hol V'chayos Minatar Kemosam. The obligation is Kemosam. Therefore, by letter of the law, there's nothing to talk about here. They have, she can be, she can discharge his obligation like he could discharge hers. It's not about Doresa Darabanan. It's about, is the obligation the exact same? And the answer here is yes. Take a look at Sif Katan Hay. Hoel v'chayavos, since they're obligated on a Torah level. V'lachein yichola lahotzi afilu hikvar yatzas yedei kiddush. Ukma v'ish. L'kaman b'simen reishayin gimel siftal. We will talk about this more. There is a principle called Kol Yisrael la'revim zelazim. Right? That all Jews are guarantors for one another. Which means that if Richie is... already done the mitzvah of, I'll use Kiddush as the example. Richie already did the mitzvah of Kiddush. Richie already did the mitzvah of Kiddush. Richie's a nice guy. And I didn't do the mitzvah of Kiddush. And, for whatever reason, I don't know. Maybe I don't know the bracha for Kiddush. That's usually the biggest problem when you need to help other people. Let's say I don't know the bracha of Kiddush. Richie's like, I'm sorry, I already did it. I can't help you. The answer is no, he can't help me. Even though he's discharged his obligation, he can help me discharge mine. Now that only works when we have the same level of obligation to start with. I mean, even though he's making kiddush for me, he's done. But since we started with the same obligation, halacha is, we're going to see more about this in Reish Ayin Gimel, 2 simanim from now, he can be motzi me. That's a rule. So the Mishnah Berurah here is merely extending this rule that even if she already made kiddush, she has done the mitzvah, she's done. And then it turns out her teenage son, who's 16 years old, who didn't come home, he went out on Friday night, and he said, oh, I'm going to go to my friend's house. So he comes home at 10 o'clock at night after the meal's over. did you guys make Kiddush? Oh, no, we forgot to make Kiddush. Oh, we got so excited by whatever we were eating and playing a game, and we didn't make Kiddush. So she can then go, and she can go ahead right then and there and make Kiddush for him, because she has the same level of obligation to start with as a man. And even though she's discharged her obligation, there's no difference. Dillian?
On Shabbos day, where there isn't still an obligation.
Shabbos day is a different animal, but it is an obligation, but it's not an obligation midal raisa. There's no mitzvah min haTorah to make kiddush on Friday on Shabbos morning. There's a mitzvah midrabanan, and I think I believe that this is going to be talked. It will be talked about. I think it's going to end up being exactly the same. But the level of obligation is certainly only midrabanan to make kiddush. That's why it's called kiddusha rava. It's the great kiddush, because you need to do for kiddusha rava. Bore prayer gafan. All the other stuff is just extra that we add. Shomer b'nei Yisrael the Shabbat, Yom Tov Shiva Shabbat Fraglecha. It's all extra. If you just say bore prayer gafan, Baruch Atah Hashem Hakadosh Baruch Hu, bore prayer gafan, you fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Shabbos for Shabbos day. No, it's Rabbi because it's great. It's a lashon taginor. It's trying to pump up the Kiddush, because the Kiddush is not its core. It's great. I love the mitzvah, but it's just for a prayer gafen. It's not like Kiddush on Friday night. I have a whole special bracha. It's the whole to do.
Eidus.
Yeah, Eidus. Shabbos day. It's for a prayer gafen. So they called it the great Kiddush because they wanted to help the Kiddush feel better about itself.
Yes,
that's right. It gives it a little chashivus.
Right.
Correct. You give it a good name.
This is from a weekday or something.
Right. So he says here in the Mishnah Berurah, the Indian Kiddush anoshim v'noshim shavim. When it comes to Kiddush, men and women are equal. And when one helps another friend with regards to the Kiddush, ABCs of the sugya of Kavana. If you're going to help somebody else fulfill their mitzvah, you have to have it in mind as the one making the Kiddush, and the one listening has to have it in mind that they're being yotzei through the Kiddush, that they're what they're hearing. That's the ABCs. That's the every sugya of when you're being motzi somebody else. Same thing here. And he says, it's right. I'm not saying you have to do it. He says, it's right that the Baal HaBayit, before he makes Kiddush, says, I have you in mind. Right? I have you in mind. And that they should have Kavana to listen to my bracha. Okay. But I in the Kamamis and Raisha and Gim, Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Lamed, Mashenich Tov Sham. Right, and that's where they talk about the whole Inyan and Reish Ayin Gimel of being mostly other people. Even I believe if you're not fulfilling your obligation, and this will become an interesting, it will become an interesting question about what happens if you make Kiddush and you have no intention, because we're going to add in the wrinkle in a couple simanim of Kiddush from Kom Seuda. Kiddush in the place where you eat. And if I'm being mostly somebody else, but their mitzvah is Kiddush, but I don't end up eating there, can it work for the other person, even though I don't eat there, but they're going to eat there? That will be a discussion we'll have in Reish Ayin Gimel, so hang tight on that question. Sif Katan Vav, Kimotam. They have an obligation like them. Ach, le'inyin zman yesh chiluk, de'be'ish zman chiyuv omin ha'torah, hu k'shu ben yud gimel. So here you have even the Mishnah Berurah is cleaning up one piece of information here. To say that men and women have an equal obligation, that their obligation across the board is equal, is actually not 100% true. Why? He points out because by the matter of time, that is different. A boy becomes obligated. A man becomes obligated at the age of 13 years old in this mitzvah min haTorah, and a woman becomes obligated in this mitzvah min haTorah at 12 years old. So there is one differentiation here about this halacha, and that is the time in which they become obligated on a Torah level. But that is merely, I don't think technical, but it is, meaning once a person is obligated midoraisa, then you're on the same playing field. That's all. Okay.
So,
yeah, Steve. Yeah, and then Simeon. So Steve goes first. Yeah.
That they postpone
Yeah.
All this is fine.
Yeah.
Except, right,
what was that? Lishol? Lishol, I'll to a person to ask you a question.
So
right.
We've heard this before where,
right.
And I wonder whether there's some.
Zeal's little mitzvahs that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay, but you know what? We don't tell anybody.
We don't tell anybody, yeah. Halacha ve morit kate.
Why? I'm wondering whether there's somebody written about that.
I wonder if this in particular, yeah, that is an interesting question. I don't know if anybody's written about that, about halacha ve'ein morin kain. It comes up sometimes. The reason that you would do a halacha ve'ein morin kain is because there's a legitimate fear, and it has to be a legitimate fear that people will not understand, people will take something the wrong way or something like that. Like, I remember there's an interesting, I'm about to violate this rule, but the Gemara and the Mishnah and Gemara and Chulin. When it talks about Basar V'Chalav, and the question comes up about about chicken, about Basar Of V'Chalav. And anyone know the Psak Halacha of Rabbi Yossi Aglili?
Yeah, he said it's okay.
He says
it's
okay.
Yeah.
Correct. And I believe somewhere there. Well, no, the Gemara mentions that we authored fowl with cheese, but in the town of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I think that they did have,
yeah.
Or he was the postex. I think that they did have chicken and cheese, right? So chicken parm was on the menu there. But it's one of those things that I never wear. Someone said you're not supposed to teach that. Why? Because it'll open up. I don't know if it's Pandora's box here, but it'll open up. It'll open up the opens up a Pesach, you know, here to. So if there's a fear that by passing in a certain way, it opens up other things which could be problematic, I could understand halacha v'ein morin kain. Because the general public may not have the knowledge, because they didn't come to the Sunday morning shiur, to know sometimes the lines, and the right from wrong, then I could understand halacha v'ein morin kain. But what you just mentioned there of zilzul doesn't sound to me like that, Steve. It sounds more like that people don't want to ask him like this because they think it's a zilzul, you know, it's a zilzul for the, what do you say, zilzul for the mitzvot or something like that. It's more like there's a discomfort of like, women don't usually lead things. Right here. It usually doesn't happen in Orthodox communities that women lead things, right? But therefore, if a shoel comes to ask you the question, because if you tell them that it's okay on this one, then they're going to say, well, Rabbi said it was okay on this and not on that. Which, look, I'm not a postic, so like I don't answer questions like this. So, but, you know, there are definitely postic people who will say, okay, but that's why when they get asked a question by a shoal, you need to be very, it's important not to answer yes and no. Because you can teach people things. I try to answer questions like this on my limited knowledge of when somebody asks me a question. Often I get questions around Pesach time, right? When Rabbi Morgenstern's inbox says, you get an auto reply from Rabbi Morgenstern's inbox, you know, you've overstuffed my inbox, you know, with Pesach questions. Please ask something out to Rabbi Klinger, right? So I sometimes get the overflow questions on Pesach. I'll try to explain to people, you know, why something is allowed or not allowed, because I want them to not just say yes, no, because then you're always dependent on me, but you can teach them a rule, right? You teach a man to fish, right? They can feed themselves, right? So my only question with the zilzul mitzvah approach is that if something is mutter, you have to be very careful when saying something that has been permitted by Torah law to say that it is not permissible. Again, unless there's a good argument to say that this is going to lead to issues, but even, you know, me saying this and then they practice it more publicly and it'll lead to whatever. It's called, I think, the slippery slope argument, right? There is a time for a place for the slippery slope argument. I really do hear it.
I wanted to verge a little
bit. Yeah. And then Simeon after. Yeah, go ahead. One second, Richie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Mr. Brewer was written in the early 20th century.
Right.
And that was a time, I don't know, in Europe, but certainly here in the United States, England, there was a big suffragette movement, women's rights.
Right, correct.
Women's rights movement. So there was like a, I guess, a need to kind of like address, you know, women's roles in
society, right?
In halacha. And they do address it. You know, you see this in Aruch HaShulchan, and you see it in Torah Tamima, all kind of like from that era.
Yeah.
You don't see it really in earlier works.
Right.
That never came up. Why did it never come up? Because, you know, women just did not have that cultural status in earlier generations.
Right.
In the last 100 years, the role of women in society has changed so much.
Right.
You know, that correct. These issues now are becoming really, really crazy issues, especially, right. Even in, certainly within modern Orthodox.
Right.
Oh, dress codes.
Dress.
You know, when they said when they get rules about wearing pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone is. You're just even saying about, like, women in terms of leadership roles, right?
Leadership roles. Right? I mean, women are Torah teachers. Partners in big law firms.
Right. You know? Right. But I'm saying
we didn't have 100 years.
Right. We didn't. Yeah. We didn't generally have women who were able to give a share. Right.
Running for President of the United States, or
correct,
know,
right? Right, right. Yeah, a lot has changed.
A lot has changed,
yeah.
And I don't know if there's anybody today. You know, in the modern Orthodox and in the kind of like the left side of the modern Orthodox world, they do address these issues, but there's just not enough address of it. In the by the way, I have to say, in my own personal experience, I once designed a home for a very famous Rav,
okay,
and his wife, who was a very famous Rebbesin, would tell me her feelings about certain halachas, you know?
Right.
And she even told me she had trouble in the morning saying Shalom Asan Isha. And I, you know,
right.
Her husband's like, you know, one of the most revered, you know, leaders of the yeshiva.
Yeah, world, you know? And that's why I think it's important that, like, you cannot. No one is going to claim that the Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah were, you know, pushing the envelope because they're just giving you the halacha. That's it.
But culture was changing in the
19th. Oh, 100%. Right, but it wasn't when the Shulchan Aruch and when the Gemara talks about this. Yeah. Like, you know, the Gemara was talking in a very legalistic way, very cold, not worried about anyone's feelings, and so. I try to my ability teach the halacha the same way, very cold, and I'm telling you what it says here.
So we're at a point in culture today where women want absolute equality with men,
and in an Orthodox world, it's going to be on tape. I'm just going to say it. In an Orthodox world, it's not going to happen. It's not. And I think that people who come in with the mindset that they're gonna find a way to have God. I have all the sympathy to, you know, to those who want to try to sort of bend the halachic system to make I get where they're coming from. I really do. But you're not going to find that if you're, again, we're looking for halacha on Sundays and Mishnah Berurah. You're not going to find that. But again, where halacha allows for the, you know, for certain things, I'm just reading the words. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't, that's where I'm like, you know, the Zilzul piece, like.
Daf Yomi this week was all about Benos Slavchot.
Benos Slavchot.
There you go. And, it, you know, the whole idea of, you know, what the Hava Mina is with Yerusha, you know, and the Hava Mina is that, yeah, the men and women are equal, but there are, you know, in the way that Gemara goes into it, I mean, it's really complicated.
Right.
And that was.
Yeah,
and that's based on certain shitos that Moshe Rabbeinu had, you know, at the very very beginning of Jewish halacha,
right.
You know, how to handle issues with women who legitimately had
claim.
Yeah.
Simeon, go ahead. I know you wanted to ask. Go ahead.
Yes, Rav, you taught in a recent earlier shiur about the notion of reciting kiddush in shul. Now that we no longer have guests living there, we don't have that makom seuda. Right. So the man already said kiddush.
Yeah.
Now he comes home and his wife hasn't said kiddush. does she have a priority position to say Kiddush for everybody before him?
No, there's none. And we'll see more about that in Reish and Gimel. We're going to see why. Because even though one person, in this example, you know, the husband has fulfilled his mitzvah in shul, nonetheless, because of the principle of arvus, he is able to be motzi all the members of his household who have not fulfilled the mitzvah yet, even though he's done. And because otherwise, and this is something actually we're going to see very soon. It's in Reish and Gimel. Otherwise, I think Aruch HaShulchan writes this. I was reading yesterday when I was last night preparing. He says, if that were the case, maybe actually in this siman he writes it. He says, if that were the case, he says it here actually. He says, if that were the case, lo matzanu yadenu viraglenu b'chol ha'mishpachos she'abal habayit mekadesh motzi ishto uvnosav v'kalosav. How in the world could every family, the husband comes home, the Baal HaBayis comes home, and came out 99.9% of households, the husband makes the Kiddush, he's mostly the wife, he's mostly the sons, he's mostly the daughters-in-law who didn't go to shul either, right? Afal pishul hispalu, they didn't daven, right? They have a biblical obligation still. And so he says, v'amnam ha'emes d'zeu rak b'birchas hanenu b'birchas l'amazon, birchas mitzvah in general, one can be motzi his friend and help him fulfill his mitzvah. Because we are all guarantors for each other, and when our obligations are on an equal level for mitzvot, you, Simeon, can help me, and I can help you. It's a beautiful concept that we have in halacha.
Did you just sow the seeds for Birkas HaMazon with a woman leading?
No, I think there it's a big problem because her obligation to Birkas HaMazon is questionably de'oraisa. There's a suffix de'oraisa by her obligation. It's not clear if she has a de'oraisa or de'rabanan obligation, and therefore she cannot say Birkas HaMazon for a man. But
they have a small bracha for women. It's not the same as we talked about.
I mean, a zimun. Are you saying by a zimun for women?
No, but Birkat HaMazon for women. It's a bracha for women, which is smaller than. So I don't
really
the same. I don't know. I saw it in
it. Huh? I'm not aware. That is. No, it's only 8:30. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, but you gave a very good answer because remember. It's an ase shehazman gromo midoraisa, from which the woman is patur. Yes,
birkas hamazon.
Yes,
I don't let birkas hamazon amiz the mitzvah shehazman gromo because it's not dependent upon time. It's dependent. It's dependent on food. It's from the Torah for sure. The chatar savata derachta. But the question it comes up in brachos. I'm blanking now, honestly, Simeon.
Okay.
It's about, but there's a suffix about whether their level of obligation is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Meaning, but it's not because of, I don't think it's because of mitzvah asei shehazman grama, I think. Because eating is not dependent upon time. The benching is dependent upon the topic of eating. I have to look that one up. It's in Brachos, not Daf Chav.
The Friday night Kiddush. So it purposely, you know, in shul, which is where you were here, it's not like Shabbos Kiddush where people go to a Kiddush before. The person who makes Kiddush shul is really in for visitors, so not going to be
right.
And he purposely gives it to the children to avoid him fulfilling, you know, if he can. It right. Doesn't, if there's no kids, he has to drink the wine. But if there are kids, he purposely doesn't do it so that he goes home.
Well, but two things. So the pair, even just the recitation of Vayahulu on a Friday night may be enough to discharge the obligation. It doesn't have to be the bracha per se. And then his obligation, because like I'll use Yom Kippur from a few weeks ago as an example. We didn't make Kiddush on Yom Kippur. Okay, hopefully nobody had to make Kiddush on Yom Kippur. Okay? But you still fulfilled your mitzvah of Kiddush midoraisa. Why? We were very insistent that after Shmoneh Esrei was over, we still said, Vayechulu HaShemayim. even though there was no vayichul in the Shemoneh Esrei, right? We said vayichul, and that fulfills the mitzvah of midoraita of kiddush, because kiddush is this bidvarim. You just speak about the sanctity of Shabbat. I literally use the words from the Torah on the seventh day of creation. That's good enough. So, yeah. So that's the problem, right? that many men now, they come down to kavana, right? When we were saying it this year in particular, I had kavana when we were saying vayichul that night, thinking about this, all what we were learning. But yeah, that's what the Aruch HaShem was talking about. Now take a look at Sif Gimel. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch here says in ein yadom maseges Sif Gimel in ein yadom maseges liknos yayin lekiddush. So, we should never know of such things in our lives. And those who we know who are in such a situation, we should try to help them so that this is not a halachic shaila. So, I'd like to say that this is maybe theoretical, but it's not, because there are Jews through the ages who have had, and to this day, who have to make these kind of calculations, even if we're not aware of it. And if it's not relevant, hopefully, to anyone we know, at least we learn about priorities. The case is, a person doesn't have enough money to buy wine for Kiddush on Friday night. Grape juice can count as wine here for these purposes. Thank you for clarifying that. So they don't have enough money to purchase wine for Kiddush and to prepare a Shabbos meal, for nighttime, and not enough to prepare a meal for the daytime, and for Kiddush Hayom, meaning Kiddush in the morning. So now what do I do? Where do I spend my money? These are my choices. I have limited funds, and now I have to make choices. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, mutav sheyikne yayin lekiddush halayla, mima sheyachin tzarche ha-se'uda, or mima sheyikne yayin le'tzarech hayom. Says, the choice is Kiddush on Friday night. That's I should purchase the wine. And one issue that we'll get into when we get to the Mishnah Berurah is, but I thought that wine is just midrabbanan, right? Why should the wine for Kiddush on Friday night get a better treatment? I'll say this. I'll say vayachulu. I'll say the bracha of Kiddush. And also, and you also could say Kiddush on challah if you don't have wine. And this is not ideal. So if I don't have wine, I can't make the Kiddush on challah. So if I have limited funds, wouldn't I want to actually buy wouldn't I want to go to the bakery exactly and buy a challah, right? Instead of buying the bottle of wine, right? Good, excellent. We're going to delve into those questions in the Mishnah Berurah. But let's keep reading the Shulchan Aruch.
What about the day? Say the days from the
Kiddush for the day.
So,
yeah.
They're not preparing the day.
Kiddush of daytime is
day and night. So that's what I'm saying.
That's for the meal, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you just buy the evening, the Shabbat, Friday night, not the day.
Correct. Friday night Kiddush. Correct. Friday night Kiddush is what we prefer to buy. Right? Buy the wine for
also the day.
Yeah, that's also part of the calculation, but I'm not buying enough. Obviously, if I have enough wine, if I'm buying wine and it happens to be more in the bottle for the next day, great. But let's say I can only buy, those like grape juice pack. You know, I don't have enough money for just that or a challah, whatever it is. You know, like, hey, if it's my money is mitzumtzam, I have very, can only buy, again, hopefully this is a theoretical question, not a real question, but that's a priority. But then the Shulchan Aruch, almost like he's a Gemara here, I love this, he quotes the Mabraita. V'ha detanya kvod yom kodem l'kvod laila, but the honor of the day comes before the honor of the night. Right, I should make sure that my meal on Shabbos day is supposed to be a fancier meal than the Friday night meal. Okay, that's an important principle. That's specifically when I have other, needs for the seuda that are met. Right, so here I'm talking about literally piece of bread. I'm talking about the minimum, the bare minimum. So when should I make sure if I have a, I can make a cholent for Friday night or I can make it for Shabbos day. I'm not doing it both. I have one crock pot. Make it for Shabbos day. And maybe that solves two birds, that solves two problems, because like it's easier to make a chomper shop. But let's say I have a grilled chicken that I made. Should I serve it? I only have enough to serve it for tonight or tomorrow morning or for tomorrow lunch. Tomorrow lunch? You'll figure out, you know, the menu, but like the Shabbos lunch should be more kovedic than the Friday night meal. Friday night should be really nice too. But if I'm making choices.
So why do you think Kvod Yom?
Kvod Yom, Kodom Lechvod Laila.
Why is it saying? We said that the Kiddush for the day is not as important as the.
Here, Kvod, here.
Why is people pushing the day? If you think about it, it says also the Yom. Why is it?
Right.
Make sense.
Why is the concept that Yom is before Laila? Okay, good. We're going to explore that in a moment. Good question. Excellent question. Why is Kavod Yom?
Second is the Suda.
Right. So part of it, part of it is also right. So part of it is that the Yom is the time when the Korban Musaf would have been brought. The Yom is the time that the action is happening on Shabbos. People in general had bigger meals. I saw this, was looking up, because I had the same question. Oh, it's Kavod Yom. People generally, their nighttime meals in general, not just on Shabbos, nighttime meals were, they weren't the highlight part of the day. The meal in the middle of the day, this is very different than America today. Nowadays, people eat dinner and it's like the feast of the century, right? And then you have snack at 10 o'clock because it wasn't good enough at 7 o'clock and you had, But I think in actually many cultures, even to this day, right? I even recall, my father was from France. Like, dinner was not the biggest meal of the day, even in France. Like, that was the smallest meal. Your lady, he would, the big meal was was the daytime meals. So the same concept goes here, but also it's tied a little bit halachic to the Karbonos Hayom were brought during the day. And it's sort of in celebration of the uniqueness of the day that surrounds the Karbonos, the Karbon Musaf and Shabbos. So the meal of the day should be celebrated with even more pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, that's interesting because in Israel, the main meal is actually during the day.
That's right, correct. Oh, in Israel.
In Israel,
dinner is light. That's right, in Israel. Light dinner. Yeah. That's right. Right.
Practical,
I guess that they just came from.
Why is it in
old days?
Because work.
You know, I remember they had, what they called siesta. People who work not far from home.
Right. They went home in the middle of the day.
Middle of the day for lunch.
Yeah, they had a good lunch. And cooked lunch.
Yeah, they had a good lunch. And they went back to the work, whatever it was.
Right.
They worked till later in the evening. Then went home, had a snack, and went to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
Here,
we work until.
You go to work. You take a train, whatever. Right. Takes an hour to get to work.
Then you have your steak at night.
So during the day you don't have,
That's right. You can't make the steak during the day. Yeah, correct. You can't have time to do this.
Have a good lunch. So you come home.
If it came from that point, Kiddush Hayom,
I think it might be also because like that was the time when everybody was already, it's Friday night. People are tired, and you're not saying you shouldn't have a nice meal, but. You got ready. You Friday.
Friday was the exception.
You were
Friday. You had it
at night. Yeah.
Right lunch. Right.
Right.
Friday was always the exception.
The exception. Right? Interesting. We're gonna talk more about that. About that, though. But anyways, they said, "I'll eat Enlo Ella Kos Echad LeKiddush." But here's the thing, he says. But if you only have enough for one cup of wine, I don't have enough to even buy food. Maybe I have some crackers somewhere in the closet. In the pantry. So then, Kavod Laila Kodem Lechavod Yom. Then, if I only have one, I can only afford one cup of wine, better than I make Kiddush on Friday night, because that is a De'oraisa. And again, all these are just theoretical discussions, because we should know such things. And again, we should try to help people not be in these positions, if you know other people who are. We'll stop here. What we're going to do next week, we'll read the Mishnah Berurah, who gets into the whole question that we talked about, which is, but what about the challah? I could buy a challah. Does the challah help me? Two birds with one stone situation here. Or at least I get some bread, and I can make kiddush over the challah. So we'll explore that, and we'll talk about the yom versus laila in general. Why is it that the kiddush hayom that the meal of the daytime gets preferential treatment over the night meal. And then we're going to get to a very difficult rule, which is very relevant every week on Friday night, about whether or not you can have water, a sip of water before you make Kiddush on Friday night, because it's not so good. It's a giveaway that it's also really to even lit'om afilu mayim.
So even say Shabbat the same thing. Before you make,
I would say Shabbat, you're really supposed to make Havdalah before you have anything else go into your mouth. The same really also is going to go on Shabbos morning too. After you daven Shachar, you're not supposed to eat until you make Kiddush, which will lead to a whole parsha about how come sometimes there are Balei Kriya who are taking sips of water.
So we have made Kiddush. Rabbis make Kiddush. So he said that.
Once you make Kiddush in shul, that's fine. Kiddush, you go not the Kiddush, you know, that's the food.
But it's not to you, then you have to go home and make it good. So how does
that explain? The Kiddush should work as long as I eat mizonos. If I have some cake or crackers or cookies, then I can have, then that Kiddush is good. I could actually go home at that point and just start with hamotzi.
You don't need the schnapps before you take the coffee.
That's right. The coffee and tea will be interesting. We'll talk about the coffee and the tea and what will happen after I daven Shachar. Can I have the coffee and tea that's sitting out here after I daven Shachar? Before Shachar, to drink the cake is interesting. That's the whole shayla. But the coffee and tea, even Rav Moshe was already of the opinion that before davening, I could have coffee and tea because it wakes you up or whatever. But the problem is after davening Shachar, before making Kiddush, then I have to have Musaf and everything. And I believe this is where the genesis of the Kiddush Club comes from, because davening on Shabbos morning in many places used to be long, and there is an inyan of eating or drinking. Not drinking alcohol. I'm just saying, like, putting something in your body before Chatzos Hayom. And I remember the days of old when I was a kid, where davening would go sometimes. It started at 9 and went till 12 o'clock. And the rabbi would darshan for 45 minutes. When I was a kid, I was a young kid. I was an older rabbi, and he was from the old guard. He was like, you know, of the sort of Rabbi Norman Lamb era, where you darshan for 40 minutes. And you didn't get to Kiddush, seeing the shul Kiddush, until it was 12 o'clock. Well, sometimes 12 o'clock is, you know, as we're going to see when we change the clock in a few weeks, 12 o'clock sometimes is, you know, you're cutting it close with Chatzos Hayom. So I wonder if Kiddush Club started, from a halachic place.